Good morning. You may or may not have known that Darren, I'll get it out here. I would say it's the medicines, but you know, I can't blame it all on. Darren and Howard are at a minister's retreat over at the coast with their wives. And so, you know, as Howard gets up here to preach, he says he's the other guy. Well, I'm the other guy. So, if you're visiting with us, we're really pleased that you're with us. And hope that you'll stick around and, as Don said, give us a chance to get to meet you, get to know you, and welcome you to our service. I don't know, but I think Darren had been plotting this sermon for a while. And he forgot to call me, and so he called me like a week ago Friday, and he said, oh, by the way, we're going to be out of town, would you? And as most of you know, I had a procedure on Tuesday, so we really didn't know how I was going to feel today, but I actually feel pretty good. So anyhow, he said, I want you to talk about trusting God through pain. And as you know, I've dealt with my share. And I can't say enough how much I appreciate the prayers and the cards and the concern that this congregation has bestowed upon me, as I know you have bestowed upon others. And so as we look together and we talk about when people are sometimes in the darkest part of their life, when they're in pain, when they feel isolated, when they feel that nobody cares about them, God is always there. And so this morning, as we look at some scripture, and as we read just, or Tim read for us just a minute ago about the woman with the bleeding problem, she had faith to know that if she just reached out and touched the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ, that she would be healed. And you realize that when Jesus turned around and found out who it was that touched his garment, for the only time in the Bible, he referred to a woman as daughter. A very significant, cherishing time that she was having with the Master himself. And so I want us this morning, as we look at this and as we share together, that we feel that closeness with Jesus Christ, even though we may be going through one of the most difficult times in our lives. So I'd like to ask you a question. And this is, I'm glad that the fifth graders down are out of here. So I'll go, if you're 21 and older, how easy was it for you to get up and get out of bed this morning? Did you just jump right out and say, yes, it's the day? Or did you go, oh, I didn't realize that pain was there before? Some of that could be due to old age. I understand that. But there are times in all of our lives when we're going through pain and suffering for whatever reason. And there are times as we go through that we wonder, does anybody care? You know, we used to sing that song. I don't know, we haven't sung it in a long time. It just came to my mind, so I didn't ask Don to lead it. But the song that goes or has the title, Does Jesus Care? Some of us that are older will remember that song. And it just talks about someone that is feeling so lost and so alone that they don't feel like anybody cares what's going on in their life. But regardless of how we feel, how we act, and what we do, Jesus is always there. And so this morning we're going to look at a few scriptures, a few thoughts that I have about trusting God with pain. You know, I received an email from Darren, and he said, here's the list that we've come up with. people in this congregation that are dealing with chronic pain. Well, I added some more that I knew about, and I came up with about 37 people here. And some of you are sitting here in this audience today. 37 people out of 167, that's a pretty good slice of people. And I'm sure I didn't catch everybody, because I'm sure that there's some things that are going on that I'm not aware of. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just want to read a section in this chapter. It's talking about Paul's vision and the thorn that he has in his side, he says, and he's dealing with it. He's struggling with it. In verse 7, the Bible says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" I'm sorry, some of my medicine makes me really dry. Three times he asked God to take it away. And I don't know the reason. God had a reason, but he didn't take it away. He said, you're going to get through life with this thorn because I'm going to take care of you. And how many times when we're struggling with things in our lives that instead of trusting God and believing that he's going to take care of us, we say, "God, why have you done this to me?" I mean, that's the way we act sometimes. We wonder, why has God chosen me of all people to feel this pain and this suffering when, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can to worship and to serve him. But God said, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient." And then if we turn back a chapter into the 11th chapter, starting with verse 23, the Bible says, "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been consistently on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concerns for all the churches." I don't know anybody that has gone through all of those struggles and those trials in their lives. And yet, one of the greatest apostles that we have to read about today is the Apostle Paul. And he kept positive. He kept going on. You know, if I'd been shipwrecked once, that probably would have been enough for me to stop. Don't know that I've ever been whipped. Oh, I was one time when my brother and I were playing with a bullwhip out in the backyard, and I happened to be in the wrong spot at the right time. But I've never encountered anything like that. And I would surmise that probably most of you have not either. But Paul kept keeping on, keeping on. So when we are dealing with pain, number one, we are dealing with the pain itself. Pain itself will zap the power right out of you, the energy in your body, the strength that you have to continue to keep on and keeping on. And sometimes everybody says to me, how come you're so happy? Well, I have to work at that. I'll tell you right now, I'm not happy all the time. Ask Connie. She can tell you. But as far as you are concerned, I'm always happy and I'm grinning and I'm smiling and I'm trying my very best to learn all of your names and all of those things. But there are times when I am down. Such a one was when Connie and I moved here 20 plus years ago. It's hard to believe we've been around that long. And I had just come out of a situation where I was beaten down and tormented as a minister. Our separation was not a good one. And when we got here, I was lower than a snake belly in a rut. Pretty low. And I want you to know that Rex and Marion took Connie and I and they put their arms around us. And they helped us become whole again. And that's what individuals are everywhere need to do. We need to find somebody that is struggling, find somebody that is hurting, somebody that is going through a struggle or a torment, and put our arm around them and said, I'll walk with you. I'll do whatever you need to do, and I'll lift you up. They might not even remember that they did that, but I do. When you're going through pain, you lose your motivation. Can we get up just one more time? As many of you know, there were several weeks I wasn't here. It was just next to impossible for me to get out of bed and walk to my recliner. Coming to worship was out of the question, and I missed being here. But I just didn't have enough motivation, I guess, to come. You doubt your self-worth. You feel worthless. Why am I going through this, Lord? I can't do anything for anybody. I'm not worth anything. I'm just another person. Go through a period of isolation. And some of these may be real or just imagined by yourself. But you feel like you're all alone. That nobody cares. That nobody realizes the struggle that you're going through. And you're all on your own. And you go through a period of fear. What's going to be next? Am I going to get better? Or is it going to become worse? Am I going to lose my life because of this? Am I going to be able to continue on and to keep going and keep trusting God and realize that He is the great physician, that He is in control, and that He will help us make us through? And sometimes that's really a struggle. You see, the crowd that was around Jesus when the woman was there would have fled, would have ran away because the woman was considered unclean back in Jewish times. So nobody wanted to be around her. When people are in pain or have a devastating illness, whether real or not, they feel isolated and avoided by others, as I mentioned a minute ago. But today I'd like to offer five S's. Somebody offered five P's a minute ago, so I'm just going a little further down the alphabet, and we're going to look at five S's. So these S's can give people hope, who deal with chronic pain and illness. Number one, suffering produces intimacy with God. In the Old chapter, or in the Old Testament, in the book of Job, chapter 42, we all know what happened to Job. He was a wealthy man, and the devil asked God if he could, if he would denounce him and turn away from God. And he said, "Not my servant Job." And so what happened to Job through all of the conflicts that we read in the entire book of Job? In Job chapter 42, verse 5, the Bible says, "My ears have heard you, but now my eyes have seen you." I don't know if God actually appeared to him in some kind of a cloud, or he showed himself. But at that moment, Job had an intimacy with God that we will never have until we get to heaven. And that's something that we need to look forward to. We need to look forward to heaven. A few months ago, we were partaking of the Lord's Supper, and Rex was leading the table. And most of you remember that time. And as he came up and he shared with us, he said, "After my stroke, I had to come to the realization that I would never ever be able again to take of the bread and the fruit of the vine." And that broke my heart, because that is the most intimate time that we have in our worship service. The time that we get to be close to God. When we get to think about what Jesus did for us in dying on the cross and forgiving us of our sins. And he would never, ever be able to participate in these emblems again. But he hasn't slowed down a bit. What an example to the rest of us. And I did ask him before I said that if I could. So, but I tell you, that one moment really struck me. Because I haven't got that affliction. I'm still able to eat. I'm still able to drink. But to not be able to partake of the Lord's Supper should be devastating to anyone. And then it means, what are we going to do about it? You just take it and you run with it. And you continue to praise God. Secondly, suffering refines us. In Isaiah chapter 48, in verse 10, we read, "See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." God makes us better. And any time that we show God's love to somebody else, we're doing it because God made us better. God cleansed us of our sins through the power of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, suffering equips us to comfort others. 2 Corinthians 1, Don already read this for us. I knew somewhere in this we'd double up on Scripture. Praise be to God the Father and Father of all of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort, with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. One thing I learned years ago when I was a chaplain, never, never, ever say, "I know what you're feeling," if you haven't been through that struggle. I went on a lot of cases where a husband or wife lost their mate. Mother and dad lost their child. And there was no way I could say, "I know what you're feeling," because I have not gone through that even today. And I thank God for that. I can empathize and I can sympathize with people that are going through that struggle, but I can't say, "I know how you feel." And so God takes these struggles that we go through, and we are able to say, "I know what kidney stones feel like," in a big way. "I now know what a herniated disc in your back feels like. We're going to work on that next." And a lot of other circumstances that I've been through in my lifetime. You know, I said when I stopped preaching years ago, I will never work for a church that doesn't have elders. I think that was the biggest downfall. But I was young. I was 35 years old. I was only just a few years out of college. No, it didn't take me all that long to finish high school. We got married. We had both of our boys before I went back to college. So, I was young. I was excited. I was exuberant. And here was a church that wanted me to come and preach. Little did they know that I had paperwork filled out to go to Mount Hood Community College to become a funeral director. Connie and I thought, well, she's got a business degree and I've got the religious knowledge. Well, I mean, she does too, but I had the wherewithal because I had, you know, I had experienced death a lot of times. And so I thought, well, you know, that's something that we could do together. She could take care of the business part as well as empathize and sympathize with the family. And I could do all of the other things that a funeral director does. But her mom and dad asked us to come and preach before that ever came on the table, and it never did. I can't say that I'm sorry, but it was just a different road in our path that God had planned for us. And you know what? If I wouldn't have left that position and come here, God would have had another road for us to go down, but I'm glad and praise God that He brought us here because we have some truly, truly great friends. Suffering produces growth and maturity. James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Wouldn't we all like to be mature Christians? Now, I'm not saying that all of us have to go out and suffer to become mature. But that will help us to develop maturity. It will give us a sense of knowing who we are and whose we are. as we live in this life. Sometimes I really struggle with the thought, how do people live not having Jesus Christ in their life? I've done hundreds of funerals where the people had no belief in God. And somebody asked me one time, how do you do that? And I said, well, the only thing that I can do is find out memories of the family, get to know the person that's going to be in the casket, as well as I can never meeting them, and give that remembrance to the family. That's all I can do. On the other hand, I've done my share of Christians' funerals. And they are so much easier to do. Yes, we're in a time of sorrow and grief, but we know where they're going. And they have that hope, and they have that joy of knowing that even though they've suffered in this life, even though they've gone through all of these struggles, they have a home in heaven and they're on their way. We should be jealous. If we're not, shame on us. And suffering conforms us into God's image. Romans 8, starting with verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. If you would like to do a little extra reading on it, Psalms chapter 22:1 and 2 Corinthians 12:9. So we've dealt with the people that are going through pain and suffering in their lives. Now, what do you and I do? What do we do to encourage these people? Well, number one, we can pray for them. And let them know that we are praying for them. You know, the Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's man or woman. But we have to let them know that we're praying for them so it comforts them. To let them know that we really care. Second of all, we can visit them. Well, Roger, I don't know how to visit people. I might say the wrong thing. Let me tell you a story that I learned years and years ago while I was preaching. No, before I was preaching. We were at the Monmouth congregation. I'm sure it was Milo's turn to preach and he just called me. But we were there preaching. And I don't even remember what the entire sermon was about. But I was talking about, I think, being faithful to God to the end. And we never know how much time we have left. And there was a man that I knew that was in the audience, and I knew he was going to be there, and he had been diagnosed with cancer. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to say Clyde's name. That was my first mistake. I said it to myself. And so up there, I'm up there preaching. I'm probably 30, maybe 32. And when I go to list this name, and I had the names written out on my piece of paper, and the first name that came out of my mouth, yep, you guessed it, Clyde. And I was devastated. It was difficult for me to finish that sermon. And so as soon as the last amen was over with, I disappeared. I was just so devastated. But I want you to know, Clyde came and found me. And he put his arm around me like a dad would. And he said, "You know what? It didn't bother me that you said my name. I may outlive all of you guys." And I learned a valuable lesson that day. We don't know how much time we got. But we need to allow people to know that we're caring and sharing with them what God has in store for them. Several years ago, when we were just first here, we were doing junior worship. I got a staph infection in my left leg. Ended up in the hospital on Saturday, Valentine's Day. There. Well, I remember all that. Well, I had a wedding to do that night, and they wouldn't let me leave the hospital to go do the wedding. So that's a whole nother fiasco. But anyhow, so Sunday morning, of course, I was not here. And whoever took junior worship for Connie and myself had the kids write a note to me. Just like the note that Darren had the children in here last week write to Rudine, the candy lady. Nobody knew who Rudine was, but everybody knew who the candy lady was. And she knows where, and they know where she sits. And there, if you're in their way going to the candy lady, move, because they'll mow you over. Now, I've not talked to Rudine, but I saw a smile come on Al's face just then. So I can only imagine how much those little notes meant to her. I know how much those notes meant to me. And I taped them to the wall of my hospital room. And one of my nurses came in, and being the jokester that I am, she says, "You must like children." I said, "Oh, I can't stand them. I don't like kids. Want nothing to do with them." Well, unbeknownst to me, that Monday, one of my teachers of the Head Start classes, where I was their driver, had their kids do the same thing. And it was really funny to see the difference between the kids that were in junior worship and the kids that were in Head Start. Because the kids in Head Start all drew me a map of how to get to their house so I wouldn't forget. So I taped all of those up on the wall in my room. And I was elated to have all those things. And I've gotten lots of cards from this congregation since the 15th of August when we started this ordeal. So visits, cards, phone calls. Simple things that we all can do. I'd like to close with the back of a card that somebody that... she's not here today. Sent to me recently. It was God. It was God who came and gave me hope when all my hope was gone. It was God who came and gave me strength to keep on keeping on. It was God who came and held me up when I was falling down. It was God who came to comfort me when no one could be found. It was God who brought me through the storm to see the morning sun. It was God who gave his love to me by means of his dear son. It was faith in God and God alone, nothing else could ever do. Oh, put your trust in God above. He'll surely see you through. This morning, if you have a need of that you'd like this congregation to pray for, share with you about, now is not the only time, but the invitation of the Lord is always open. But if you feel that need to ask for prayers of this church, we would encourage you to do that right now as we stand and sing.